Our country's in a time of great change and great, you know, maybe crisis is too big a word, but it's a time of change in our country. And this is a positive change that we can make within each little family in this country.
And this is what that is about. It's just saying, look, this is worth making an effort for because we can do something really worthwhile.
What are they on about? Is it the economy? Crime? Emigration? Believe it or not, what we're suggesting could actually affect all of that and more for the next generation. You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Andrew Chambers, and this is the final episode in our four-part series called Heritage Builders. Well, you've probably copped onto this already, but in order to train most people to do anything, you have to actually talk to them. But for some reason, that's often difficult to do when it comes to our own kids, especially as they enter the teen years. Jim Whiteman of Heritage Builders says, fortunately, it's not impossible to have meaningful conversations with your teens, but sometimes a little creativity goes a long way.
I put this bench in my living room, and on the bench I put a 2x6 by about 6 foot, and then I had all the kids sitting on the bench. And I said to them, I said, you're in the ocean, you're surrounded by man-eating sharks. And I said, and you're dying of thirst when this pops up. And I held up a can of pop, and I put it about 4 feet out, and I said, what are you going to do? And so they, you know, they turned the board around, and they figured out how to get out and pick up the can of pop. Well, then, when that was all over, I said, hey, pretty simple exercise, but let me ask you a couple questions. If this was real, why didn't you just jump in the water? Well, Dad, there's sharks. I said, so what? And they go, well, Dad, sharks bite. I said, so what you're telling me is you know some things are bad even though you've never experienced them. And they go, yeah? I said, okay. So then we launch into this huge discussion with teenagers at the time saying, so where's your line between innocence and experience when you're dealing with dating? When you're dealing with your friends? When you're in a party that some inappropriate stuff is going on? Where is your line? And it prompts this incredible discussion because the concepts now become real and they come into their world.
Well, if entering the world of today's young people frightens you a bit, you're not alone, but it's got to be easier than being surrounded by sharks, right? Today, Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan offer some more practical help on how to build a worthwhile heritage for your kids. Here's Heather.
Well, this is really an opportunity for us to tie together what we've learned in the last few programmes. We've talked about intentional parenting and creating a great heritage. And one thing that's really important is if we haven't had a good heritage or a good past, we can create our own. Using the tools and wisdom that God gives, we can intentionally create a strong, healthy family with a great heritage, and we can leave a great legacy.
And what we want to do is to use moments that we have as a family, you know, just taking the license and taking the opportunity to talk with your kids.
You can take 10 minutes before they go off to bed at night to sit down and say, you know, tell me about your day. I want to hear how you got on today. But if we don't really intentionally go after that, we're not going to get it. Because by the time mom comes home from work and gets the dinner organized and everything else, the children, you're quite right, Stephen, they've processed their day. They've processed it in some way. They may not have processed it healthily. And you can come back as mom later and say, you know, I know we didn't have that time when you were feeling straight after school, but I want to hear what happened. And you might get a pattern might develop or a habit might develop where that child can hold some of the precious stuff and really process it with you later on. So life is very pressured. Life is very stressful. And the ideal is hard to come by now, but it is still possible to get those moments back.
Absolutely. And it's about capitalizing on what actually works for us, because no point in us trying to be that other parent. And maybe the only way that will work is when they're going to bed or in
Absolutely.
The morning over breakfast or whatever it may be.
Where opportunities present themselves then, let's say we call these impression points. Some arise as opportunities and some have to be created. Sometimes sitting in the car dealing with a contentious issue might not be the best environment. I think we have to take that into account as well. But to have a continuous series of opportunities of moments, we can deal with fairly significant things progressively.
You mean the idea of maybe perhaps of a Saturday morning or Sunday morning sort of big brunch, quick get out the sausages, you know, cook the eggs. You know, we sit down and chatter for maybe half an hour. We make time. We're not in a rush doing something else. It's very, very valuable. And it creates that opportunity for connection and meaningful relationships that leaves a lasting legacy, the sort of legacy you want to leave behind. And I mean, on the second point, the symbolic idea of teachable moments, you know, or moments where something's communicated, you know, those things like when I put my arm around Margaret or I greet her when I come home, you know, it shows them, it's a symbolism of sort, you know, of what lies ahead for them in their future in terms of a relationship, a good relationship between a man and a woman where after 25 years of marriage, they still love each other, you know, and, you know, these things are telling. And it's nothing better for a child to see a father and a mother loving each other. It makes the child feel secure. Those are valuable moments that just take place in the normal course of life, if you like, but are worth doing.
And there are so many symbolic ways that we can do that. You know, the child that goes out and is helped to pick a bunch of wild flowers to bring home to mom. That's a symbol of maybe they've seen dad bring home a bunch of flowers. There's all kinds of simple ways of just using that symbolism in our lives to express joy and affirmation and love to each other. That's extremely helpful. And what you hang on your wall says something about who you are as well. You know, when we left our church in England to move back to Ireland, one of the beautiful women in our church did a fabulous embroidery, which is a scripture verse, and we hang it just inside our door. This hangs on our wall. So everyone that comes in sees that this scripture verse means something to us. And it's lovely to relate the story of how well this lady that loved us and cared for us actually made this stitch by stitch. And I'm reminded of when I grew up, there was a picture that used to hang on our over the mantle, and it said prayer changes things, and it was a picture my mother as a girl had made, but the way the G was formed, it looked a little bit like a C. So if you didn't know that it said prayer changes, you might have read prayer chances things, and we used to laugh a little bit about it, but you know, it's imprinted in my mind, prayer changes things, and that was made by my mother's hand as a young girl. And you know, those little things kind of stick with you for a long time.
When I was at school in 1970, 3 years before he died, my father wrote to me, but it was never sent. And it was after he was dead that I mean, 15 or 20 years after he was dead, that I actually got the letter. But it means something to me, and it tells me what my father's attitude to me was. And I'm capturing, in a sense, something of how I mattered to my dad and what his aspirations, which I can hear him expressing in the letter, are there. And I have that framed on the wall.
That's fabulous to see, because it says something about your family, about where you've come from, and what the creed or the important things in life were about.
It definitely does make you wonder, in a world of fast-paced digital communication, are we forgetting the power of the handwritten letter? Well, we do need to take our first quick break. You are listening to family.ie, and this is the fourth in our four-part series of programmes called Heritage Builders. In just a moment, we'll turn our attention to this concept of family nights. Now, I realise that this may conjure up images of The Simpsons vegetating in front of the telly, but the team will explain the whys and hows of fun and meaningful family nights. And do keep in mind, there's more information on Heritage Builders, along with many other radio archives and resources to help your family thrive at family.ie. That's www.family.ie.
You know, when I was growing up in Ireland, effectively we had a monoculture. You know, by and large, things we're now living in a very, very multicultural society. And the influences that are out there are very different. And, you know, a lot of those are positive influences, but some of them are negative. So we can't always assume necessarily that our children are getting the same messages from parents' friends, from friends, that they would get from us as parents at home.
Mervyn Nutley of family.ie. And that's a great point. When it does come to communicating with our kids, we can't assume that we'll get a whole lot of backup from the world outside our home. So far on today's edition of Heritage Builders, we've looked at a few ways to engage our kids in meaningful discussions. When it comes to helping them process issues in their lives, what are they learning from us emotionally, socially, and spiritually, and what kind of values are we passing along? And how can we create times to do that effectively in a way they'll actually take it on board?
The family night idea is a great way of doing that, because you've got some sort of tools, you've got some games you can play that are fun games, but still there are ways of communicating and ways of passing on values and things that we consider important to our children.
The idea of family nights is one of these occasions where we can choose, be it once a week, once a month, to say we will take time and I will think as a parent what I want to use this time for in order to teach my child something of our creed, something that's important about our history, something that's valuable to us as a couple that we want to discuss. It might be something that's come up in the car journeys, you know, that as we've traveled to matches or can bring them home from school or going to social events, that we can take family night as an event where we know that we're going to have an evening together, we're going to have fun, we're going to eat something nice, but we'll also talk about something worthwhile. And using that evening both to have fun but also to use it as a teachable moment. And so anybody can do that anytime. You just have to choose what the issue is, be intentional about it, and let the conversation flow. Make a great night out of it.
What if we've never done this before? What if this is totally new and it seems a bit terrifying? What if we've never done anything so intentional in focusing on something for our families like this? What if we never experienced it in our families?
I mean, one of the things that can stand in your way of doing that is, you know, I'm too busy, I'm afraid how it'll work, or, you know, I'm not good at this. But the truth is that if you just make an effort, it doesn't have to be too complicated. There's no big mystery about this.
Well, I would say, is it worth the risk? It might, you might be taking a risk here saying, well, I'm going to have family night on Friday. Maybe the kids don't want to have family night on Friday, but is it worth risking it? Because they just might love it. You know, yes. They just might want to come. They might love it. So you could say, look, family night, next Friday night is going to be family night. We're going to have a meal together. And after that, we're going to play a table game or we're going to watch a movie together or we're going to do whatever. It's worth the risk. What's the worst that can happen? They don't like it. So at the end of it, they say, that was awful, Mom. I really didn't enjoy that evening. The next question is, how would you like to spend an evening? What could we do that you would like? You give them the opportunity to create family night themselves. So I think it's worth the risk. I would say, go for it. Have a go. The worst that can happen is that you'll have to change it next time and do something different.
So that actually engages and you've already brought about a change.
You've made something happen, exactly. Mm.
Because we're involved in a constant struggle for who is influencing our children and whose influence are they really listening to? Is it us with our creed and our views, or is it somebody else? I asked Jim Wideman, he talked about storming the beaches at Normandy in his book, when it was established to change the course of the war. And I asked him the question, you know, why is it important to establish a beachhead? And let's hear what he has to say.
You know, one of the things that becomes real important, let's go back to the concept that we're raising our kids in a toxic culture, a culture, at least as we're experiencing in the United States, a very violent culture. Look at the TV shows. Look at our video games, right? And so there's this culture that wants to consume our kids. And so the concept is that you got to form a beachhead. You got to get into a position where you can now fight the battle with truth. And so one of the things that became important was putting in place family nights, because it gave me the beachhead. It gave me the opportunity to speak into their lives and to speak against the culture. And you have to be extremely intentional to do this, to make sure that you're giving them truth so they can delineate between truth and non-truth.
Making the effort begins to establish a cohesion in the family and a pulling together where we're not pulling together, maybe. And we end up, as Heather said, what have we got to lose? Chances are that the family might come, you know, dragging their heels, if you like, to the table for the family night. But they love, everybody loves to get attention. And therefore, if we get into an environment where people are respected, where their voices will be heard, where they'll have their say, we'll have some fun. If that's what you want to do, you're creating an environment where great learning can take place, where you're engaging with your family in a meaningful way. And that's very useful, very, very powerful for them. And that's worth establishing a beachhead for. And this is what that is about. It's just saying, look, this is worth making an effort for, because we can do something really worthwhile.
This is family.ie. So far on today's discussion of heritage builders, we've looked at a few practical ways that we can more effectively communicate with our kids. That is, if you found your kids don't seem to hang on to your every word anymore. Stay tuned for the final segment of today's program. We do realise that starting any or all of this may seem a bit intimidating, so the team will address a few of those possible hesitations in just a moment. So you'll hear more from us right after the break, but don't forget that we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886, or email us anytime radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886 or email radio@family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's family.ie. This is the final episode in our series called Heritage Builders. Today we're wrapping up our discussion on how to pass along our values to the next generation. We can't take it for granted that creeds, beliefs, and values which we think are meaningful will be treasured by the next generation. So we've suggested just a few of the many ways in which you can start the journey of raising up a solid heritage for our kids. Back to the discussion now with Stephen, Heather and Ger.
Let's just look at another issue that might cause someone to hesitate taking this on. The issue of them not having a good heritage themselves. That might seem like a daunting task. When you look at, let's say, the uphill climb they might feel that they have to go. What would you say to somebody like that?
If you take the three strands, you've got the emotional legacy, the spiritual legacy. You know, you might have strong values and strong views and beliefs and a very strong creed. Is that helpful? Or is it very doctrinaire, and is it negative or is it positive? And in the social legacy, like most of us Irish people have a strong social legacy of some sorts, and a strong family connection and a wider family engagement of some sort with our wider family. And that's quite valuable as well. If one of the legs is weak and the other two are strong, or even only one is strong and the other two are weak, you can play to your strengths, Ger. Because these three interconnected, because they all do interconnect with each other, these three interconnected strands of heritage give us the possibility of having a healthy whole heritage to pass on to the next generation. So if you're weak in one sphere, look at areas where you have strengths, because I think, Heather, it would be unthinkable that anybody looking at their situation would say, I have nothing to recommend in my heritage. They probably have something worthwhile.
And most people will find something. I think also it's a little bit like the family nights thing. Well, I've never done that before. I don't think I could do it. What have you got to lose? It's worth the risk. It's worth a try. You've nothing to lose and everything to gain by finding, like you say, Stephen, one place to start. If it feels like a mountain, you can only climb a mountain one step at a time. Take one step, look at one thing, one part of you that feels intact, if that's a good word, or complete, or one part of you where you feel you could do something, and work on that. Start with that. We all start somewhere, and it's never too late. So yeah, I think it might seem like a mountain. It might seem like, well, it's all right for them to talk about it on the radio, but actually in reality, it's kind of never really going to work. I think it can work. And I think we can all do something that will start to build a spiritual, emotional, and a social heritage for the next generation. And I think our country needs us to do that. Our country's in a time of great change and great, you know, maybe crisis is too big a word, but it's a time of change in our country. And this is a positive change that we can make within each little family in this country. And it's worth the risk.
First thing you might do is to pray and ask God for wisdom, for strength, and for release of the resources that are needed. You know, you're amazing what happens when you start to pray, and you can pray in the most simple way. Just, you know, takes a few moments to be quiet and ask the Lord quietly. It doesn't have to be anything brash or gregarious, and ask the Lord for help in your situation to do something worthwhile. Second thing is to plan. I think it's a Japanese proverb that says those who fail to plan to fail. And I mean, you know, these things don't happen by chance. They happen because we want to make them happen, and therefore we've got to plan for them to be successful, and therefore you've got to look at what would make it successful. And the third thing is perseverance. Peter Drucker, very, very famous businessman, leader in terms of the whole area of management, has been very famous in the last three decades. He said, some succeed because they are destined to, but most succeed because they're determined to. As somebody else has said, you know, success is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration, you know. And a lot of it is to do with us sort of saying we're going to make the effort. The effort is worth making because the people that matter, that you're talking about investing in, do matter. And this can work. And it's very likely, as Heather said earlier, if we invest time in playing a board game, which they're not used to, or playing cards, or going for a walk or something that they're not accustomed to, do we have to do that, Mom or Dad? You know, quite honestly, that attention that they'll get from us, they'll value, and they'll always value.
Are there resources available?
What about using some of the tools we've talked about? Like, we talked about changing the aroma of your house by affection, respect, order, merriment and affirmation. Those are five things straight away that you could think, well, what one of those could I start with today? Maybe I'll try today to show a little more affection. Just one little thing will make a difference. Maybe tonight I'll say something just really good to the kids before they go to sleep to really encourage them. That will change the aroma in your house. What about the traditions we've talked about? Is there a tradition that you are aware of? And if there isn't, is there one that you can, without contriving things, that you can bring into the fore and just begin to really appreciate? What about the creed or the beliefs that you have? Is there something that you can begin to maybe focus on a little bit more, or maybe begin to embrace yourself a little bit more, and you will naturally pass it on? And then the impression points that Stephen talked about, taking opportunities when they come up and choosing to have teachable moments or family moments. Those are loads of things that you can start with straight away. Don't need to go out and buy anything. Just, it's all right there.
So in one sense, it's believing that you can do it.
It's wanting to do it, actually, yeah. It's believing that you can and really wanting, being an intentional parent. And everyone can do that. Doesn't mean there won't be any problems. Doesn't mean everything will be a fairy tale ending. But it does mean that we're constructively building into the next generation.
You've been listening to family.ie. This has been the fourth episode in our series called Heritage Builders. There's loads more information on our website, family.ie, and we do think you'll find something of value for you. Whether you're single, married, separated or divorced, we do try to have something for everyone in the family. You'll also find podcasts of this programme series and other topics we've covered, including preparing your teen for college or university.
I told my daughter that now that she was 12, in the next few years, you're going to be becoming an adult, but I'll be expecting you to start leaving that childish carry-on behind you. And she said to me a few years later, says that was the best advice I ever gave her, because it helped her to understand what was happening to her. Mm-hmm. And I suppose at some stage, a time in the lives of our children comes along when they want to really begin to lay hold of that adulthood. Mm-hmm. And one of those key times is when they're stepping out to go to college.
TNT for Dynamite Relationships.
Well, the researchers tell us that the vast majority of what we say is actually non-verbal. And what is it they say? Your actions speak so loud the world can't hear what you're saying. So really, what we're doing and how we're portraying ourselves.
I get the impression that to learn to say no for a people-oriented person may be a process. And to be able to say, you know, home life, family life, the nurture of my daughter is very, very important. The boss's report is important. And to be able to say, in the balance of things, I've given 8 hours already to this, I need to give time to my family.
And interviews with Dr. Gary Chapman, best-selling author of The 5 Love Languages and The 5 Love Languages of Children.
I mean, I've had this with my children because they realise that I can say words that would encourage them, not necessarily to be a phrase we'd use in Ireland is plumassing them, you know, sort of pretending that they're great when in fact they're capable of a great deal better. We can encourage them to really rise up to the challenge and excel, can't we?
A lot of times parents are in such a hurry that they just make comments to the child, even good comments, but they don't engage the child in conversation. Quality time involves conversation with the child and listening not only to what they're saying, but to the emotions that seem to be around that. I'm not talking about sitting in the same room watching television, but the reality is you can learn to receive love in all 5 languages and you can learn to give love in all 5 languages.
Those programs and many more at family.ie. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's www.family.ie. So on behalf of Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Jar Shanahan, I'm Andrew Chambers, and we do invite you to join us again next time, right here for more. Until then, slán go fóill, thank you for listening to family.ie.